Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. Set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm ready to go to the prom. I got my ugly pink dress. I got my ugly clip. I'm getting my ugly umbrella. I'm all set for prom.
We're going to have to get into it, because I'm just going to warn people ahead of time, okay? This is a PSA at the very top of the podcast. I don't have nostalgia for this show. We're watching it for the very first time. So bear with us if we don't love everything you love. And if we maybe possibly make fun of some of the stuff that you love, it wouldn't be this podcast if we weren't doing that. You know, I have to be honest and true about my feelings, Sarah. So it's going to happen. I'm going to break some hearts today. Mm-hmm. I already know it, because I've already preemptively, accidentally broken some hearts. So
yeah, the only thing that we have in this life, Jessica, as I've said so many times before, is our integrity. That is the only thing that we have. We have nothing else.
It's all we have.
We don't
what
have.
What are we supposed to do?
We don't have beauty. We don't have brains. No, I'm just
joking. I mean, where's the lie, though?
We have our integrity. That is it. And we have to tell the truth about prom. Yes, I was 16 and had my first real kiss at prom. Yes,
did you really? Did I know this?
Too old to have your first kiss at. It was after prom. Yes, 16 is too old to have your first real kiss. Yes, I was in the back seat of a car that my mom was driving. Yes, that is all true.
While your mom was in the car?
That is all true. That's the only thing I have in this life, is my integrity and the truth.
Happened your first prom. Kiss with your mom present.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. What was that?
Is it sad or is it not sad? Because I don't know. Is it often that people have their first kisses in front of their parents?
No, that is weird. I think that is weird, but also I have the capacity for PDA far more than most people do. Would you agree with that?
1,000%. You're way more pro PDA than anyone I know.
I'm very pro PDA. More so yeah. than the average folk.
Yeah. And here's the thing, people. I'm just letting you know right now. We're going to break some hearts. I'm not into PDA. Also, my brain is going a million miles a minute, Sarah, because we took a week off. Apologies. Blame me. It is all my fault. I was leaving town to go on vacation. I had to go to a wedding, had to go on a cruise. And there was a lot of stuff leading up to me leaving. And I simply was overwhelmed with way too much to do. We had to put a week off.
Yes. Were you packing up your trunks to take the ship to Angel Land? Is
that what happened? I was by the docks, as one is.
Yeah. Yes. How was the cruise? Tell me two fun facts about the cruise.
So one, relatedly to what you are saying, is that there was so much PDA, like so much PDA. Mm-hmm. Like there was a woman full on just sitting on some dude's lap in the casino, just full on making out.
I love that for them.
So happy for them. Let's see. What's another fun fact? I already told you about the small dog. That was pre-pod. That was fun. What else interesting? I mean,
nothing about Aruba. Nothing.
I didn't go to Aruba, so I don't have any fun facts about Aruba.
You fucking bitch. You literally told me that you went to Aruba.
I literally never told you.
Where did you go? Where did you go?
I went to Nassau in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Coco Cay, which is like Royal Caribbean's mm-hmm. own island. It's like basically just a beach.
Yeah.
Oh, the beach.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fine. It was good. I was sick the first day a little bit. I don't know why, because reasons. I don't know. Travel. Who knows? My body's mm-hmm. weird and it hates me. Let me tell you a fun fact. I was never more so. Okay. They have karaoke nights on cruises. Okay. And I love to go to a karaoke night. I don't even need to be performing. I generally don't. I just like to sit and I sing with the people, and I'm a woo girl, Sarah. I don't know if you know this about me. I will pump you up. Okay. If back in my day, back in my heyday of going to like a bar or something, mm-hmm. I would go into the girls' room and give every girl I saw a compliment. You know, I just feel like you got to boost those people up. Sometimes they need it. And when you're on stage and you're singing, I don't even care if you're good. If you are like passionate about what you're doing and you are like zesty, I will woo you. I'm a woo girl. Okay. Now, I was very upset because karaoke was only an hour long. And the thing is a lot of people sign up. And so sometimes they don't get to every single person, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, me and the people we were with, we went on the cruise for a wedding. So it was a lot of my husband's family. We're all just sitting around. We're watching. We see these two cowboys walk in, okay? Like full cowboys. Like they have cowboy boots. They have cowboy hats. They're wearing jeans. They sign up. And I was very excited. I was like, what song are they going to sing? Yes. You have a question?
Were they hot?
Kind of too far away for me to tell. Okay. One was bald.
No,
but like, I think on purpose, not like by choice, not by hair loss.
Okay.
I don't know any. Other than that, I couldn't tell you. Okay. But the thing is, they signed up for a song, and I was like, "Is it gonna be? She thinks my tractor sexy. Is it gonna be like? I'm like predicting like what song are they gonna sing? You know? I was very excited for this. The problem was some of these bitches signed up for multiple fucking songs.
Oh, you can't do that.
Repeats. And guess what happened? The hour was up. Never got to see the cowboys sing forever. I will be wondering what song the cowboys would have sung.
That's a crime. I'm sorry for you.
Thank you. It very much is a crime.
On February 4th, 2025 at 2:47, I asked you, are you ready for Aruba? You said not at all. Ha 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 ha.
I don't think I knew where we were going. Because we were going on a three-day cruise.
You told me Aruba before. I followed up with, are you excited for Aruba?
Yeah.
And you did not correct me. Oh, no. So you literally just got on a boat and you're like, I don't know where I'm going.
Yep. That's exactly what happened. I knew. Wow. Here's the information I knew. I knew we were going to like a tropical location. And that was truly all I needed to know. I am a go with kind of gal when it is like, you know me, I'm a planner. I'm a type A. Okay. Mm-hmm. But this is my husband's family. Therefore, in my opinion, that's on him, baby. I'm putting on my shorts and I'm putting on my tank top and I'm walking around.
This is how I know I'm actually more Virgo than you, even though isn't your moon
my moon is Virgo. Yep.
This is how I know
Sorry. My rising is Virgo.
My rising is Virgo.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay. Well, anyway, this is how
I'm sure. We've had this conversation a million times.
This is how I know I'm more Virgo than you, because like my brain would break if I didn't know exactly the plan. Like I would not be able to handle it. And the fact that my husband's family are not planners kills me. Absolutely kills me. It murders me. So yeah.
You know what's funny is I literally didn't think about a single thing I would be doing during this vacation up until it, because, and here's where the fun comes in. Here's where the trickery comes in. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was so fucking anxious about leaving that I couldn't handle even thinking about what I would be doing. Yeah. It was like one step at a time. Like, I don't know if it's an ADHD thing where I was like, I can't focus on that right now. I need to focus on just leaving the house.
Oh my God. You have to. I'm glad that you got away from those boys, because you gotta do it. You gotta do it. So get away from them.
Yeah, that's where we were. That's what was happening. Yeah. That's why we weren't here last week.
No.
But it's time to talk about prom. And I'm going to give you one more warning, everyone, okay? If I hurt your feelings, I truly am sorry. There are just some things. This was in the 90s, all right? And as 2025 girlies, we got to call shit out. Okay. Sarah, it's prom, season 3, episode 20. What do we want to talk about first? Let me throw out the topics that we
know. I know exactly what I want to talk about.
Oh, beautiful.
I want to talk about Cordelia, Miss Tax Evasion Queen.
Miss Tax Evasion Queen Cordelia. Her dad is a tax evader.
I will say tax evasion is probably my favorite white collar crime, because
I didn't know you had a favorite.
Because honestly, it's the most relatable.
Because of that time that you like forgot to pay your taxes or whatever?
Well, no, I did not forget to pay my taxes.
I can't remember exactly what happened, but there was a situation with you and your taxes.
There is usually not a year that I don't have an issue with my taxes. Because the system is made to fail. So maybe Mr. Cordelia, what is Cordelia's last name?
Cordelia Chase. Does that sound right?
Maybe Mr. Chase was just on TurboTax and he kind of messed up a little. He said, okay, I'm inputting my W-2. However, I might be taking advantage of my deductions. And maybe he deducted like $500,000 or more. That's an oopsie. And it's because it's made to make you fail. Uncle Sam is a scam artist. If you put a space between S and A in Sam and put a C in there, it's scam. Uncle Scam.
Whoa.
Taxes are bullshit. I say, fuck it. Throw it all the tea in the ocean. And I will say it is a common mistake. It's very common to mess up your taxes. So I am empathetic towards Mr. Tax Evasion Chase.
Here's the thing though. I agree with you in terms of if you're a poor or even like a middle class, okay? If you're at those levels, 100% agree. It's all bullshit. It's all made to make you feel dumb and confuse you. If you are Fancy Pants Richie Richardson, you got people for that. He has an accountant.
Okay.
Business manager.
Tell me this. You cover this show called Schitt's Creek.
I do.
Didn't Mr. Moira, didn't he mess up on his taxes because of his
Johnny,
business managers?
It was his like financial person that basically took all his money, essentially.
Whoopsie, a little H&R block, whoopsie, you know? Like
H&R block, whoopsie.
That's what happens.
Well, real crime that we need to talk about, Sarah, is the fact that now Cordelia has no money.
And
She's officially a poor. And so the only reason she has gotten this job at the dress shop is so that she can afford to buy a prom dress. But poor Cordelia, because Xander catches her when he goes in to like poke fun at her, and because they constantly back and forth, snipe, 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 snipe. So he goes in to be like, poke, 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 finds out she works there and that she's like trying to buy this dress. But unfortunately, I don't know how expensive this dress was, Sarah, that it was going to take like multiple shifts to afford it. That seems unreasonable.
Are you sure? Because this is definitely like, you know, the dress is probably like $1,000 or more.
$1,000 for a prom dress? I paid around that. Actually, I think I paid less than that for my wedding dress.
Yeah, but
that is way more important than a prom dress.
This is California. And also, people, like, I don't know if people would spend like $1,000, but people definitely spent like $500, $800 on a prom dress. And she's probably getting paid minimum wage. Of course, she's going to have to work her ass off to afford this dress. And rightfully so, the dress was beautiful. But
can't wait to talk about it. We'll talk about, I'm just going to let everyone know, we're going to talk about all the looks in the prom section of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I do have visuals. So this is a good time, if you're not already, to go subscribe to us on YouTube so you can see those when we get there. But please continue.
Yeah, no. So we find out that Cordy has to get the job so that because she like put her dress on layaway and she doesn't have a car anymore. She doesn't have a phone anymore. She doesn't have anything. Oh, she doesn't even have a house. Where is she living? She's homeless.
I was wondering that too. Like, are they like in a tiny, tiny apartment? Like, what's the situation?
Probably. So yeah. So there, and she can't afford to go to any of the colleges that she got into.
Explains why she's going to end up at Hellmouth University.
I don't know. I think she might be taking the ship to Angel Land.
Oh, you think that this is how she, well, she's not spinning off, I guess, technically. She's just getting written off, I guess. I don't think so, but.
Yeah, I think that she's getting on the cruise ship to Angel Land, mm-hmm. wherever it may be. She can take Wesley as well.
We're going to have to talk about that. We'll talk about that during the prom section, because I want to talk about her and Xander and what happens between them this episode, where like Xander keeps her secret, right? Like he has ample opportunity to spill the secret of Cordelia has a job. She's a poor now. Not only does he not do that, but he buys her dress for her and compliments her on it when they're at the prom.
And when Wesley was like, why are you hanging out with Xander? He's like, he puts up an excuse. I think Xander actually might be MVP this episode.
Interesting. I look at it as he is paying his dues for cheating on her. Like, he owed her this. He owed her a nice dress and a compliment for all the shit that he's put her through. So I feel like now maybe we're a little bit more square where we weren't before.
Like, I guess. But also, I just think that Xander's not the monster that some co-hosts of this podcast portray him to be. I think that I've been saying for three seasons, he's a teenage boy. What do we expect?
And they're monsters. Like, boys are truly monsters.
They are hellhounds for sure. I think that he was really good to Cordy this episode. I'm really, really happy that she was able to get the dress that she wanted. And I like that he didn't like throw it in her face like he normally would. And I think that really does bode well for Xander, how Xander feels about what he did and how he feels like he wants to, you know, make it up to her in a way. He will never make it up to her. He hurt her so bad. He messed up so badly, but at least she was able to have the night that she always envisioned with his help, which is really nice. Yeah.
It's very nice. Now, I have a question and we'll get into the Wesley and Cordy of it all, but do we see anything in the future of like a Cordy, Xander, Wesley triangle situation?
No, I really think that Xander is not into Cordelia. I think that there were probably more clues that he still has feelings for Willow in this episode, more so than Cordelia. I think that he's over her. I just think that he feels bad that he did this, and he feels bad for Cordelia that like her life is not going the way that she thought it would. And I think that like that was something small that he was able to do to buy the dress, to make sure that people don't know her secret. Like, and I honestly think that, like, I don't think that Cordelia had romantic or like anything towards Xander. I don't think that there's a love triangle. I think Cordelia is all in on Wesley, and I think that Wesley is going to be all in Cordelia.
I don't disagree about the Cordy and Xander aspect, but I think that there is some lingering stuff there from Xander. And I'm not necessarily saying like to the point where he wants to necessarily date her, but like even I think it was the episode before this when he says like, oh my God, all those guys looking at my Cordy, like he feels some sort of ownership over her still. And I think the reason he doesn't say anything about the dress thing isn't necessarily because he has feelings for her, but it's because it's almost like punching down at that point. Like when she had money and clout over him, it was like he was punching up, like he's the underdog and she's this like popular, beautiful, like well-off person who's also incredibly intelligent. So now that she doesn't have the money and she seemingly isn't as popular as she once was, it feels bad. Like it feels wrong for him to be like outing her and making fun of her. So I don't know that there's any, I have a feeling we are on season 3 of what, 7. I have a feeling that we are not ending this series without more Cordy and Xander as a couple. I just think that they're going to bounce back to each other at some point.
I still think that Cordelia is like, I am done. Like Cordelia is going to spend the rest of her life dating older because she doesn't want to deal with people that are less mature than her. I can't see her going back to Xander ever, ever, ever.
I hope not. Like I did not want her to. I just feel like it's going to happen. But
no, I still think that it's more likely Xander still has lingering feelings for Willow. Like throughout the episode, he kept making like kind of jealous comments towards or surrounding Willow. I think that that is more likely for me. But I don't even think that Xander's going to get Willow. Like I think that Willow is like over him as well. Maybe in college he can find somebody else. Actually, he's not going to college, isn't he? Supposed he's to be doing a gap year. Yeah, but I really thought the Cordelia stuff was interesting. I'm really happy that she got to have a magical prom experience. We'll get to that later, but I thought that this was really interesting, and I'm glad that she got the dress that she wanted to. I also, like, with the mystery of the week, was very proud of her that she like kind of figured out what was going on, like, yeah, 10 steps before everybody else. And because it's like that typical, she's not blonde, but it's that typical like Legally Blonde shit, like people don't take her seriously because of her reputation or how people perceive her. But like she was like, yeah guys, like the monster went after somebody that had good taste. Yeah. And then like 10 minutes later, Giles like repeated the same thing back to her, and she's like, that is literally what I just said, you guys are catching up now. I thought that was really good moments for Cordelia this episode all around, but maybe even better for Xander, who had like some really funny moments and also some good like character growth in my opinion.
I think the stuff with Cordelia definitely is a step in the right direction of character growth for sure.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
let's stay on and talk about the demon dog, the monster of the week, if you will. It's like, I kind of felt like it was unnecessary. Like, I feel like maybe they felt they had to have some sort of monster of the week. I would have been perfectly fine if all we had was the drama of the prom and what's going on with Bangel. And also, like, we still have the Ascension coming up. Like, there's still a lot going on. We didn't necessarily need the whole demon dog storyline, but it's whatever, right? Like, this guy Tucker, he's raising hellhounds. Everyone thinks he only has one, which, like you said, Cordelia figures out that it's basically being trained to attack people in formal wear because he's going to release them on prom night. Luckily, Buffy is a queen and an icon, and she says, absolutely not. Everyone else will go to prom. Everyone will have a great night. I will handle this myself. Not a care in the world. She easily handles them. Like, even when Tucker's like, I have backup plans, she's like, bitch, I have like a stun gun. I'm going to kill these hellhounds. Don't even worry about it. And she does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this man, he did this because he basically got rejected, but he fucking asked Harmony. Harmony's a bitch. Like, you're not going to go to the meanest, most popular girl in school and then get rejected and be like, yeah, I hate everybody. I'm going to ruin everybody's prom. Like, you know, level your expectations or bring your cousin at the very least.
Yes. All else fails, you have a cousin.
Yeah. So this is so ridiculous. He goes to the video store. He goes to Blockbuster. He goes, I want the 10 tape special. Yeah. And he takes out every prom movie he could possibly take out. There was Carrie. There was like 16 Candles, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Every single prom movie he can. And these little hellhounds, goodness knows where he got these from, but they were there in cages. He trains them, as you said, dog trains, to attack people in formal wear. And the plan is, because everybody rejected him and he has no prom date, he's going to release the hounds onto his fellow peers. And and you're absolutely right. Like, Buffy handled this without even breaking a nail. It was too easy. It was a joke. I mean, I think that this is kind of the issue, like, that we have, because yes, you and I would be so fed if it was just drama surrounding the prom and the Bangle breakup. We would be so good, but we're not watching Dawson's Creek. We're not watching Boy Meets World. Like, or this, everything has to have a supernatural element. And I guess, like, that is where I'm like, yeah, babes, I would be fine if we didn't. That would be totally cool with me. But I guess, like, every episode we have to have some sort of, like, supernatural element or mystery. Maybe that's something that they don't feel like they have to lean on as much in upcoming seasons or in the future. Or maybe that's just our life. I'm not quite sure. But, I could have done without it, too. It would have been fine. I did like the gag where they were like watching the tape and Cordelia's like, zoom in. I see it happen.
Enhance.
Yeah. I see it happen all the time on TV. And Xander was like, our TV does not do that. He was able to pause. And then they caught the guy right away too. Like, this guy really sucked as a criminal.
Yeah. The thing is I agree with you. We didn't need this, but at least it felt like they barely spent any time on it. Like, it was treated as the joke that it was. It was taken as seriously as it was, which was very little. Like, my only other note on this storyline is I really liked that. I feel like we got the full circle moment of previously Xander, like, hid behind Cordy. And I want to say they might have been dating at that point when something like scary was happening. And this time he like pushes her out of the way, like very heroically. I liked that it was very full circle. Like, okay, we're seeing some growth from Xander. Like, he's not being this like cowardly douchebag. Like, he actually is standing up for, you know, someone he cares about and wants to not get hurt. So that was the only thing of note from the demon dog storyline.
Yeah. Yep.
Um, So the only other Scooby-centric storyline we have is we got a teensy bit of info on the Ascension. And I thought it was interesting the way they frame it is apparently they find out what it is a human, the mayor, will transform into a demon, the living embodiment of an immortal. But they don't know, like, which demon he's going to turn into.
Is this new information to
I us? Thought so, but like truly it could have been said like 5 episodes ago and well, maybe okay. We just didn't know.
I mean, honestly, I've watched this episode 4 times, so I can't remember. I can't remember if like, oh, this was something that I learned like 2 weeks ago when I initially watched the episode for the first time. But I feel like this is very not new information.
We knew he was immortal and we knew he was doing an ascension. I don't know if we knew he was turning into a demon.
I think that we thought that he was a demon. I guess. I think,
yes.
So like we were like, oh yeah, like he's a demon. And we were like point blank. That's not a question.
Yeah.
But I guess the issue is that they don't know how to combat it because they don't know which demon it is. And not every demon can be treated by staking or.
They have different like flaws or weaknesses or kryptonites or whatever the heck.
Sure. So that is a conundrum that they'll figure out, I guess.
Well, next episode, because it's graduation next time. So
graduation. Yeah. Oh, that's going to be exciting. So then, and then up like besides the prom stuff, do you want to talk about like Bangle, the breakup?
Because we got to talk about the Bangle breakup.
Yeah, because okay, so this is what happens. This is the basically Angel got the ick. And I want to know, can you come back from getting the ick on somebody? And I feel as though the answer is probably not.
I think the answer, and this is not a fun answer, but like I think the answer is it depends. Like I think his ick of her wanting to go to prom / wanting like a mirror and a drawer in his place. I feel like if you are a 200-year-old vampire dating a 16-year-old, that's just an ick you don't come back from. Like there's just no combating that, right? And let me show you for those again who aren't watching us on YouTube, I am going to show you something, Sarah, that I feel like is like the number one reason he gets the ick, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Evidence A on the screen.
Yeah, so
you want to describe for the jury what this is, please.
So Buffy has a notebook, probably for school, that she left there. And as a lot of teenage girls do, she has written in bubbly letters, Buffy and Angel for the number 4, ever. She does not say Eva, as in Girls 5 Eva, but it's ever, and then bubble exclamation point, and then she also has like Buffy. I have done this shit billions of times, billions, trillions of times, actually. It like the mystery of who I had a crush on in middle school would have been solved in a second by anyone if they found my notebook. I was writing my last name and I were like other my crush's last name, Sarah, whomever. Yeah, but I guess if your 200-year-old boyfriend finds this, it is a little young. It is a little icky. I do want to give her some props. I love, absolutely love that she combined the Y in Buffy into the A of Angel. That is some quality lettering right
this
there.
This is some calligraphy shit, all right? Like, this is some high-level shit. Like, I couldn't do this when I was her age. Okay. Yeah. But
it is not ugly, but it...
No, it's not ugly at all. But the problem is, Sarah, I am a 30-year-old woman, okay? Mm. And this gives me the ick. I'm not 200-something years old. Like, this man is being invited to prom, okay? Like, that's a lot. That is a lot. She is now taking a next step of like, I'm going to live like near you so I could stop by a lot. So why don't I get a mirror and a drawer? And when she opens the curtains because she like fell a little sleeps, the sun shines in. And I think all of this is it like dawns on him, pun intended, that like this is not compatible long term. Like she is human. I am not. It's not compatible long term. She will age. I will not. The mayor made some solid points. And he's already ruminating on all this.
Yeah.
When again, she's inviting him to prom, which is like, oh my God, he's like 200 years old. But then,
okay, well, this is the thing, because like, let's be real. You had to, if you were 21, you could not go to prom when I went to school. Like, if you had a boyfriend that was 21, you couldn't bring your 21-year-old boyfriend to school into prom because of like the alcohol reason. So it's like, she's like, oh, you'll blend in. Girls have older boyfriends. Like, does this man have a fake ID that says he's 21? Because he does look 30.
They need to have a vampire fake ID maker. Like, that's just a thing that needs to exist, because otherwise you're fucked.
It's a service. So yeah, so we get a knock on the door and it is Joyce. And I'm sure a lot of people are mad at Joyce for this, but Joyce is like, hey, I don't care that you fucked my daughter last night. He's like, actually, I did not. We're not like that anymore.
Yeah, I can't. She'll fuck the soul right back out of me.
Yeah, I can't do that. And she's like, okay, nonetheless, please, for goodness sake, my daughter is about to go to college. There is college dick out there. Please break up with her so that she does not hang on to your sorry ass when she goes off to college. Let her be a normal girl.
I want her grinding on randos.
He was like, you know what? I don't really want to go to college with her because I already went to college, and it's okay. Like, I guess I hear what you're saying. So then he's like, okay, Joyce, I understand the assignment. I will think about it. I want Buffy to have a normal experience. I want Buffy to go on a coffee date. I can't drink coffee because I get the jitters. And I say, Angel, grow the fuck up. Get yourself a coffee. Get a decaf. Maybe if you actually drank coffee, then you wouldn't have to whisper so much.
People that hate on coffee. I know there are people in the world that don't drink coffee. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm understanding of that. Yeah. But also, like, be an adult and just drink some coffee. Like, don't tell me it tastes bad. You got to start out light and sweet, and then you just eventually lower it down. Anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah.
That's besides the point. Okay. What you said about Joyce, here's where I stand on the Joyce situation. I feel like she is overstepping her bounds big time. Like, this is just a big time no-no. You don't go to your child's like partner and say, break up with my child. You just don't do that. Like, if you want to sit down and have a serious conversation with your kid about it, that's one thing. But like, this is the quickest, fastest way to get your kid to not want to talk to you and not trust you. Like, I understand where she's coming from, where she is saying, like, she's a young woman, all she sees is you, and she's so in love with you, there's like no way she'll ever end it, so that's why I'm coming to you. But Joyce, honey, that is not your decision to make. This is Buffy's life. This is Buffy's mistake to make. Eventually, you need to have trust that eventually Buffy will be mature enough to realize, hey, there are so many dicks out there I could be grinding on, not just Angel's. And you know what? I can't even grind on Angel's dick because he might get his soul back, or he might lose his soul again.
So yeah.
She just needs to trust that Buffy will be able to make that decision when the time comes.
I guess so. But also, I'm not mad at it because I'm like, yes, let's expedite this. Like,
let's get Angel on the ship already.
Let's expedite this. I don't need this. And then I don't need their relationship. So then he's on patrol with Buffy, and it's like they are probably spending like 9 hours together on patrol, and like each and everything, she's probably like, oh, my dress, my shoes, my makeup. And he's like, ick, I have the ick. And this is the worst thing ever. I hate when people do this. So then they go down to the sewer. They're looking for a vampire. They're on patrol, as I said. And he goes, Buffy, later, I need to talk to you about something. And it's like,
What a douchebag.
It's not like a now thing, but like later we have to talk about something. And Buffy's like, no, you have to tell me now. You can't do this. You're scaring me. And it's like, I hate it when people do it. Like, I have something to tell you, but not now, later.
Yes, so annoying. The audacity to, okay, there are so many audacities had right now, okay? The audacity to try to do the we need to talk, but also do it later. The audacity to do this in the fucking sewers, of all places. And the audacity to do this right before fucking prom. You goddamn monster. Buffy has very little of a normal teenage experience in life, right? We can all agree. Yeah. Buffy's life is chaotic and not always the way she wants it to be because of her responsibilities of being a Slayer. Mm-hmm. And the one thing she wants, like we talked about with Cordelia, is a great prom experience. That's yes. what she wants. She wants to be a normal teenage girl for 5 fucking seconds, for 1 fucking night, Angel. All right? Can you just fucking, you're 200 years old. You haven't figured out patience yet? Just fucking wait. One extra night. Like, here's the thing, Sarah. We talked about this in the past. I felt so guilty when I knew I was going to end things with one of my boyfriends. And it was so close to Christmas that I literally waited until like the day after Christmas to break up with him because I couldn't fathom the idea of breaking up with someone right before Christmas. Like, same concept here. Yeah. Don't break up with her right before prom. And you, Angel, you cannot blame her because you are the one who started it with, we need to talk later. Like, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, we gotta talk, but not now, but later. Yeah. So she gets out of him. I want to break up with you. I don't want to be with you. She's all like weepy and sad. It is weepy and sad. Like, it really stinks to get broken up with, especially right before prom, especially when you're a teenager, especially when you're in the stinky sewers. But what I love is this chat between Willow and Buffy. And I love, it was so sweet because like, Willow like got the assignment. Like, yes, we hate him. He's a dick.
Super maxi jerk.
Like, okay, how dare he do this before prom? But then I love how she was like realistic and she was like, look, like, I don't want this to be your reality, but I feel like it's for the best. And then I love even more that Buffy was like, you're right. Like, it is for the best. Like, it wouldn't have worked out. Like, I love that, like, Buffy had that realization because, like, oh, it was so sad. She's like, my life is over. Like, my life is falling apart. And that's how it feels when you get broken up with, when you go through a breakup in life, let alone when you're a teenager. But I'm really happy that they got to this realization that, like, she's going to be okay. Like, she's going to be okay. It's horrible. It stings. Like, the situation really, like, sucks. But she's going to be okay.
Yeah. Especially because, like, it takes a lot of maturity. I'll back up a little bit. The way Angel breaks up with her too sucks because he's doing the whole, you deserve more, you deserve better than me.
Oh, yeah.
You deserve all this and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a shitty way to be broken up
with. Do you believe that? Like, I think that a lot of the time, like, yeah, like, somebody can have a belief about that themselves, but it is the worst because it comes off like you're trying to be selfless, but you're being selfish.
Yeah, I think it's rare that it's true. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times it's like a cop-out and it's just an easy excuse to make.
Like, it's not you, it's me.
Exactly. It's the same bullshit.
I think that, like, it could be true. Like, we are not each other's person. Like, I think that that is like a more evolved way of saying it's not you.
We're just not right for each other.
Yeah. Like, not there. It's the same sentiment. Like, you know, it's not anything that you did, and it's not like necessarily something that like I did. It's just that we are just not right. Like, yeah, we're not the right match. Like, I think that that's like the more evolved way to say that.
I do too. I think it's just rare that we hear it, but I agree with you that I think Willow is being an extremely good friend, a solid friend, because the first thing you do is you shit talk them and you say, what a dick. What a fucking dick. What an asshole.
Yeah. You read the room. Yeah.
You have to read the room. But then to follow it up with, but there are some solid points being made, and I do think you're better off, I think is totally solid. And for Buffy to have the maturity, the emotional maturity to see it right away, like, it hasn't been that long. Usually it takes, I feel like, a long time to get to that place. Especially if you're the one who's broken up with. It takes you a long time to get to the place of like, yeah, you were kind of right. Like, I had this experience with the ex that I was literally just talking about, but it was like months later we had a conversation where he was like, you were right. Like, you were right to end it. Like, we were no longer like compatible.
Yeah.
And it usually doesn't happen instantly. So good on Buffy. And again, I'm going to give a point in the con column to Angel, because when she runs into him, when she's dealing with the whole Hellhound thing at the butcher, and he has the audacity to say that he misses her, That is like so unfair, Sarah. It's so unfair of him to say that to her.
Oh my gosh. Like literally breakup 101. Like if your ex within the first month doesn't come to you and say that they miss you after they broke up with you, then like, are they even a man? Like that is literally, that is so typical. Or like, yeah. Or like, I miss you in my life. Or like, I miss talking to you.
I think about you. Yeah. I think about you sometimes. Or I thought about you the other day. Fuck off. We are done. So you have no right to say any of those things to me. It only is going to hurt her more. I know you think that you're like being kind, but you're just making it harder.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's why it's like, if you break up with someone because they're an asshole, it's like easier because you're like, you can think of them as like, they were always just an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
it's just mean.
Yeah. Okay. Number one, did we know that he got blood from like the normal, like the local butcher?
We didn't. I mean, I don't think he's ever mentioned it. I think we've questioned before, like what he did for blood.
That was pretty interesting. So that was one thing that I wanted to ask you. And the other is something that I don't remember anymore.
Okay. Well, let me know if it comes back to you, because I want to move on to the way Giles comforts Buffy through this whole thing. I love that he, like, when he finds out, he, like, offers ice cream. Like, he's like, what is it that they suggest? Oh, yeah, ice cream. Like, he's like, that's comforting, right? Like, he's so sweet. Like, he knows, too, that it's, like, for the best. But I feel like the way in which he's doing the right thing by, like, trying to comfort her with, like, what is it that teenage girls like? Okay, ice cream. You know, it's very sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet. Like, I think that their relationship has evolved so organically over the last couple seasons that it's just very hard not to love their relationship. And it's really sweet. And I like him trying to, I mean, he was so funny this episode between like his sarcasm when it had to do with like what he's going to wear to the prom and like what he says to Wesley later on. Like,
so funny.
Giles was just like magnificent this episode. He's so good. He's so good. And yeah, like I love how he's just there for Buffy. And I also like that he like let the kids have a day off. Like, of course, Buffy had to deal with the hellhounds. But like once Buffy was like, no, like they deserve to have like a good day. I like that he was like, yeah, OK, like sure.
Because he trusts her to make that decision. Like at this point in their relationship, he trusts that she can handle the demon dog thing on her own.
Yeah.
Go back to season one. I don't think the trust is there yet, but they have built up that much of a rapport and a trust between them, between Watcher and Slayer. I love it. Yeah. I love their relationship so much. And I'm very intrigued to see how that will change next season when she's no longer in high school. Like, is he going to be a library at the college? Like, is it going to be like Boy Meets World, you know?
Oh my God, 1,000%. Yeah. Or so he's going to be like, I don't know, in the dorm room down the hall or something.
Oh, 1,000.
He's coming to Sunnydale University without a doubt. Yeah. UC Sunnydale, I think it is.
I think so, yeah. Okay, let's talk about prom. So as we talk about the people, we'll talk about their outfits. And first up, we have to talk about Anya, the demon Anya, inviting Xander to prom. This was so funny.
It really was, because I think that, like, we don't actually know what Anya's true form is, or if we do, I don't remember.
Well, but she is like, a demon, but
she's a demon, but like she literally like transformed herself into a teenage girl and she's stuck in that body. So it's like she doesn't know why. I love the line. I don't know why I want to go to this dance, but it's the most important thing to me right now. So she really wants to go to the dance, to go to prom, and like she finds all of the teenage boys insufferable, except Xander, who she says is less like douchey than all the other teenage boys, which like you would probably argue against. But Xander has no date, so he begrudgingly agrees to go to the prom with her. So they are to the prom. Xander looks great. We have the pictures up. He just a standard tux, a white boutonniere flower. I think that Xander looks very dapper this episode. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, like, I don't mean to be rude about like men's outfits, but like, I feel like a tux is a tux is a tux. Like, there's not a ton to say about it. The boutonniere is nice. He looks nice. Like, yes, he looks dressed up and he looks nice.
I really like Anya's outfit. So Anya is wearing this like red and black lacy number with like spaghetti straps. And there's probably like some silver appliques or something, or maybe
it's just hard. It's not in HD, so like the quality is not there, you know.
She has a corsage that Xander must have gotten her, which is also red and black. Doesn't match the boutonniere, which I say like knocks off some points to probably Xander, because Xander probably should have matched his boutonniere to her.
Is his tie supposed to match too? Like, is he supposed to have a red tie? No,
it's black. It's black ties. So, like, he's wearing a tux. So, when you are wearing like a formal tux, you wear a black tie or a black bow tie. So, it's a formal tux. It's not like a sports coat and
Yes. But, I mean, I like her dress as well. I think I think that the red and the black makes a lot of sense for like a demon. You know, like I think it makes sense. And she has her hair in an updo, which I also really like. I also love how he finds her so boring that he like wants to talk to anyone else.
It's because she keeps telling these like really disgusting stories of all these men that she tortured. And I'm sure he's just like crawling out of his skin. Like, if I say or do the wrong thing, I can be like punished via her. So like, I think that like she's giving him the creeps, but and maybe she's boring too. I think that she looks really pretty here. I think that, I mean, maybe, I mean, okay, so if we're gonna rank them, I think that she's in like the, for girls, in at this moment, the number one spot.
Because she's at the number one spot.
Because she's like the only one that we've looked at right now.
Yeah. So next up on the board, I want to talk about Wesley and Giles, who are chaperones. We called it. We nailed it, baby. I'm pretty sure both of us were like, yeah, this is obviously what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're both wearing tuxes. Wesley has like a little, what is it, white pocket square thingy-majig.
They look
handsome. I think they both look great. Wesley has gel in his hair, you know, classic.
If you told me that these two were clones, I would fully buy into it.
Because they have the same glasses and everything. Yeah,
I swear to goodness, I feel like that is a clone. I don't know if I've been watching too much Severance or what, but that man is a clone of Giles, 1,000%.
Yeah. I thought they looked great, and I loved their little banter back and forth about like the dip and stuff. Oh, it was just very funny.
The dip was spicy.
Yeah, so funny.
Spicy salsa.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, honestly, do we have to rank the men?
The men are in tuxes. They're fine. Great. They look great though. Very dapper.
Okay, let's move on then to Willow and her date Oz. Okay. Oz's suit looks a little different.
His suit is different, and it's pretty ugly.
Is it like snake skin? What is happening? Yeah,
it looks like some sort of animal print, the vest. And then he also has a white corsage, but also the tux looks very big and boxy on him.
It's like two sizes too big.
I'm not feeling it. I feel like he could look better. The vest almost matches Willow, but not quite. I'm not feeling it. Willow looks gorgeous. Like, this is like some like brownish, burgundy-ish,
like a rusty red. If I'm gonna give a nitpick, I wish they would have had more of a differentiating factor between Willow's dress and Anya's dress, because I feel like they look very similar, like especially in color, and like they're both like those spaghetti straps. She has the like velvety shawl thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's similar, because like I think that Willow kind of has a a halter, and I think like the cut's different. It doesn't have the lace element. Like, I don't think it looks the same, but also, and I think that she looks very pretty, but I'm not like in love. And if I have to choose between Anya's dress and Willow's, I still think I like Anya's better.
I would pick Anya for the fact of, I also am not a big fan of Willow's hair. So I think that I would pick Anya for like the entire look. I think Anya's is better. I prefer Willow's look from when she kissed Xander that time. I think that dress was gorgeous. Like, you're not going to beat that dress for me, for Willow.
Yeah. And Willow and Oz's night at prom was pretty quiet. Like,
they barely did anything.
No, they didn't really win any awards. They didn't really do anything. They like showed like a little bit of emotion in a moment when the awards were given out, but they had a pretty quiet night.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Cordelia and her expensive layaway dress. Mm-hmm. I don't know what color I would call. Is it like a gray?
No, that's purple. Are you blind?
Listen, it's not in HD. It was very dimly lit. But the thing is, Sarah, I truly have never seen Cordelia look better than on prom night.
She's so beautiful. So her dress is sparkly and long, and has a plunging neckline, and it's like I said, it's like purple. I would call it like a little bit of like an eggplant type of color to me, at least. It looks purple. And also she's wearing a little bit of like purple eyeshadow, which goes like really well with like hazelish eyes, brown eyes. She's so gorgeous. I loved this dress. She looked magnificent. 10,000 out of 10. Obviously the best dress. Her teeth look great. She has
a glossy lip on.
She's so beautiful. It is stunning. I think that she was just like the belle of the ball, and Wesley saw her and was like, she looks so hot, and they like got to go arm in arm, and then he like asked her to dance. Like, she had a good night. Like, I am very happy for her.
Yeah. The line from Giles, "For God's sake, man, she's 18 and you have the emotional maturity of a blueberry scone. Just have at it, would you? And stop fluttering about."
Yeah. Yeah. Giles was over it. Like, he does not want to hear him Wesley drooling all over Cordelia. And he's just over it. So he's like, go for it. And obviously Cordelia is very interested in him. Yeah. So they went off and had a good night.
And we do confirm Cordelia is indeed 18. So confirmation right there. Boom.
Yep. So I am very pro this relationship, and I'm very pro this look. I think that
this is number one easily.
Oh yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So right now, Cordelia, Anya, Willow, we're all in agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, let's talk about Buffy's look. It's like a light pink strapless, long train sort of situation happening. My biggest pet peeve about this, I think her hair doesn't look good.
Well, in her defense with the hair, is that she was slaying. She was working and didn't have time.
And not in the way of like, oh my God, you look so good, slay. Like, no, she was actually slaying.
She was actually slaying. So she undid her hair from like the clip and then like reclipped it into half up half two. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with how ugly and horrible this dress is.
That's incredible. Do you like the color of it at least? Because I kind of like the pink color.
No. It's not her color. It's not her color.
What's her color?
Not that. It is so bad. It is revolting. It is so ugly. I hate this dress. I hate the way it drapes. I hate the color on her. However, if you want to talk about a dress where she looked stunning, is the wedding dress from the Angel Dream. She looked gorgeous in
that dress. She caught on fire.
It doesn't matter. She looks beautiful in white. Her makeup was beautiful in that scene. The off-the-shoulder look looks so good. Her boobs looked fantastic. I'm not even an admirer of boobs, but her boobs look good. I loved how flowy it was. Her wedding dress is beautiful. This dress,
I wish that burned. I hate that dress. I think that she looked, I hate it. And I think it's a horribly ugly color. 0 out of 10, my least bottom of the barrel.
Wow. Okay. So I don't find it as offensive. I would probably put it like around where I put Anya's. Like, I like the color.
No.
I really don't like her hair. It looks like flat, and I can give her a break because of the fact that she was slaying. I'm also not a big fan of like a long train because the impracticality of it annoys me. But it's whatever. Like, she could look better. Sure. This is Sarah Michelle Gellar. Of course she can look better than this, you know, like recognize how beautiful she is. I wish they would have given her more of a Cordelia look. But
something
alas.
Sexy, something.
Yeah. But those are the looks. Everyone is now at prom, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's having a good time. Buffy makes it.
Yes.
And we were like, last episode, we were like, who's going to win prom queen? Like, we were going to have to talk about this. Who will win prom king? Turns out, doesn't fucking matter, because we don't even find out who prom queen and king are.
Okay, so Sunnydale High does something that nobody in the history of the universe does, and they do class superlatives.
Fucking
for prom. Yeah. I mean, superlatives are a thing. It's like, but it's in the yearbook. And not here. It was so weird because, like, also, like, maybe, like, it could have been, I would have been more like, would have believed it more if it was like at grad ball or something, but the fact that it was at prom, it felt weird. But whatever, they're doing superlatives. And we first see, like, we saw, like, we didn't get to see a bunch of rewards, which I really wish. Or awards. I really wish we did, because I am like very interested in superlatives. Like, I love, I've talked about this a billion times. I really love yearbooks. I love looking at like old yearbooks and like superlatives in general, because I just think it's interesting. But I wish we saw more. We did see Class Clown and how Xander lost it. And I thought that was really, really funny and very relatable as somebody that like really desperately wanted to get a superlative, just anything. And I didn't get it. And it was like, that person got it? Are you kidding me? He's not even funny. I thought that was like a really hilarious moment.
Yeah. I mean, it was strange having superlatives read out at prom, but like it did lend itself to the Xander joke, which was pretty good. But then we get a new superlative, right? So Buffy is like off hanging by herself, whatever, getting a cookie, whatever, punch time. Then we get Jonathan, and he says, we got a new category. So I'm going to read through what it is that they say, and we will talk about it. And this is your last warning that I'm probably going to upset you in a matter of minutes, people. Okay, so they say, this is actually a new category. The first time ever, I guess there were a lot of write-in ballots, and the prom committee asked me to read this. We're not good friends. Most of us never found the time to get to know you, but that doesn't mean we haven't noticed you.
Okay, can we just stop down for one second? It is insane that Jonathan started off this whole speech of, we're not good friends and we barely know you. Like, it was absolutely, I'm like, wait a minute, where is this going? We're not good friends. If you told me to my face, we're not good friends and I barely know you, I would drown myself in the punch bowl. I was like, this is my special speech.
You would have stopped listening after those two lines.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying to me? We're not good friends. Hey, why aren't you trying to make good friends with me? Okay. Anyway, go on.
Okay. But that doesn't mean we haven't noticed you. We don't talk about it much, but it's no secret that Sunnydale High isn't really like other high schools. A lot of weird stuff happens here. But whenever there was a problem or something creepy happened, you seem to show up and stop it. Most of the people here have been saved by you or helped by you at one time or another. We're proud to say that the class of 99 has the lowest mortality rate of any graduating class in Sunnydale history. Everyone claps.
Yeah, I really like that. And also going back to when he was like, yeah, it's not like other high schools. I love how the randos, the peanut gallery, was like, hi, people. And
vampires and demon dogs.
It was like, and Snyder.
Yeah, that was the best line. That was
I thought that that was very funny too. Okay, go on.
And we know at least part of that is because of you. So the senior class offers its thanks and gives you this. It's from all of us, and it has written here, Buffy Summers, class protector.
Okay. Now let's stop down.
Yes.
I thought that this was the sweetest thing. And I think that there are so many times where people do not get acknowledgement or validation, whether in the workplace or your day-to-day life. And for her peers to be like, we see you, we recognize you, we might have not been best friends, but you made a difference in our community. I thought that that was incredibly sweet. I thought it was so nice. And then just like to see like Buffy look at Giles and then Giles look at Buffy and be like, wow, like we're actually getting the acknowledgement that we, you know, it's so nice. It's so nice to get acknowledged and to be seen. So I thought that that was extremely endearing. And before we get to the next part, like comment on that.
Okay, yes. I noticed the speech more on my second watch for reasons we'll get into in a second, but I thought it was kind. Like it's also nice, like in a meta way, to get recognition from the students that like, yes, we notice the crazy shit that goes on here. Like we're not oblivious to everything going on. Cause like sometimes that's kind of how it seems. Sometimes they just like go about their business. Like nothing weird is happening. Well, like them addressing the mortality rate is hilarious.
Yeah. Also because, well, we've joked about that for like three seasons straight that no teenager survives this town. Yeah. But like, also it's like, this is what they know. Like they've grown up like this. Like this is like normal to them because they don't know it another way.
Yeah. So I do like the speech. I think it is like very kind. I feel like you're right. It starts off very poorly. But maybe that is kind of the charm of it, is that it doesn't feel like it feels like it's written by a high schooler. It doesn't feel like it's written by an adult.
Also nice that like Jonathan, who has been here since season one.
Yeah.
And like, you know, in many ways, like we just learned his freaking name. Like, it's just like, you know, but he's been a constant. So for him to be the one to like get the lines and like get the, be the one. And he just had that like nice moment with Buffy.
And he gets to be on stage announcing this. I don't know how they picked him to do it.
Well, he was part of the prom committee, he said. And it seemed I think that like everybody that was like part of the prom committee got to like present an award, is at least how I interpreted it. But nonetheless, so everybody else got trophies of some sort. We saw the guy that got class clown got a trophy, but Buffy got a special gift.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it to on screen for people who are watching the video. Now, here is my description of what this is.
Yeah.
It is a children's umbrella that is a four-year-old's craft project. It is very tacky. It looks like they went to the dollar store, grabbed some tinsel, slapped that shit on an umbrella, and called it a day. And it has like this teeny tiny little metal plaque right above the handle. And like, here's the thing.
Buffy Summers, class protector.
It's fucking ugly. Like, it's fucking hideous. And I was so distracted by the hideousness of the umbrella that I missed so much of the speech because I was so hyper-fixated on it. Like, why? Why can't she get a trophy? What is she doing with a children's umbrella? How do you even like, okay, at least trophy you put up on a shelf or something. The fuck do you do with this? Like you hang it up somewhere upside down on the hook? What do you do with this?
Okay, well, okay. So number one, apparently this was a write-in award, a write-in ballot. And
so they didn't have anything.
Yeah, they did not have any extra trophies. So they had to come up with something. Why they came up with an umbrella, like, yes, you can say, hey, like, you know, she's a protector. This is an umbrella. An umbrella's purpose is to protect from the elements. So it is symbolic. Who created this craft? I don't know. Maybe hell itself created this craft.
He gave it to the demon dog and said, here, make a craft for us, please.
Now, I will say, if you want me to make a prediction, I think we're going to see this umbrella hung up in her dorm room 1,000,000,000,000%.
Oh, no.
1,000,000,000,000,000%.
How do you, the thing, again, like, I'm just going to go back to, like, how the fuck are you supposed to display this? Do you keep it open? Because, yeah, first of all, yeah, that's supposed to be bad luck, is opening an umbrella inside.
I mean, like, everything is bad luck in Sunnydale. So
that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's reverse bad luck. But then also, if you hook it on the hook, then where it says Buffy Summer's class protector, it'll be upside down.
I can see it's coming. It's going to be hung up on, like, the corner of the room. It's going to come from the ceiling. I know it. Like, I know it to be true. We're going to see this forever.
I hate this thing.
It's pretty ugly, but the sentiment is so sweet.
And I really feel like we have done a Freaky Friday right now because, like, I was wondering, I have not, so just to let the listeners know, I have not asked you how you felt about the tacky umbrella. I have let my opinions on the tacky umbrella be known to some of our community members, but I have not asked you. And I kind of thought when I was watching it, I'm like, Sarah's gonna fucking hate this umbrella. Sarah's gonna fucking, like, the hatred that you had for Buffy's dress was the hatred I thought you would have for the umbrella.
No. Because the thing is that, I mean, it's a piece of junk, right? Like, it's an absolute
piece of crap.
It's a piece of crap. And, like, would I want this in my home? Absolutely not.
Okay, but thank you for confirming that.
It's so sweet. And also, like, I was, like, the girl when I was 18 that literally had a yard flamingo and kept that in my room.
Right, you did have that
as like a tchotchke. So, like, I feel as though I probably would have liked this when I was 18. It is ugly as sin, though.
Thank you. I'm removing it from the screen, so I don't have to look at it anymore.
I mean, did Jonathan create it? That's very sweet. Like, obviously, like, somebody had to put in effort, and I think that that is really nice for them to acknowledge Buffy. It is so hard to get acknowledgement and appreciation in this world. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was really cute. And yeah, like, Buffy was like, yeah, like, I have this, like, little toy umbrella thing. Like, I can definitely see, like, somebody was like, crap, we have to come up with something. And then somebody goes to the Dollar General and finds, like, the umbrella and just, like, got a bunch of shit from the dollar store. That's what it is. I mean, like, sure, I would rather a trophy, maybe even a medal. Like, fuck, give me a Chick-fil-A gift card. I don't know.
Yeah, even, like, a certificate. Like, I'd rather have a fucking certificate because you can frame it.
The
fuck am I doing with this umbrella? Like, here's the thing. I broke hearts when I said this, and I truly apologize because I really didn't think this was a controversial opinion.
Well, what did the people say? They wanted feedback. To like the aesthetic of the umbrella?
No, no one cared about it's basically what you're saying, which is no one cared about the aesthetic of the umbrella because everyone was so caught up in the sentimentality of it. Whereas I was so distracted by the hideousness of the umbrella that I kind of blacked out and missed most of what Jonathan said. And so, like, we had people like Todd, where, like, this scene makes him cry. Same thing, David, this scene makes him weep.
Okay. We are so jacked up on Zoloft that we are not crying at TV shows anymore.
No, I'm incapable. I'm truly incapable at crying at TV. And, like, again, I don't have the nostalgia for the show. I know a lot of people will, like, rewatch this episode and they cry every time they see it.
It was sweet. Yeah.
It's sweet. I didn't sob.
I think I did cry at a TV show not so long ago. I have to remember what it was, though, because I cannot for the life of me remember. I will tell you.
Okay. Soon. Please let me know when you remember. So yeah, like, Mars Spars gave us some feedback about, like, the same thing kind of you said, where it's like, she feels like Buffy feels disconnected and isolated. And to hear at the end of high school that, like, people are actually recognizing her and they understand what she's done for them is very beautiful. I totally agree. It's just like, get a fucking better trophy. If you appreciate her that much, spend more than $5 on her, you know? Like, we didn't have a little bit bigger of a budget. Come on now.
No, we have small budgets.
Like, if everybody gave a dollar, we could have got
something. No. Everybody in this school is going through tax evasion. It's a big problem.
Also, David did give some feedback that I very much agree with, which is, as cheesy as it was still more than the freaking Watchers Council has ever done.
Facts. Absolutely. Yeah.
Where's her health insurance? Where's her workers' comp?
No, there's none of that. We don't have that.
Yeah. So either way, that is the Class Protector Award that she receives. And it is very kind. It is very nice. She seems to really appreciate it, which is really all that matters. Mm-hmm. And her prom experience increases tenfold, especially when, as we predicted, Sarah, who shows up last minute to get a dance but Angel?
Oh, yeah. That was a big win for me. I was very excited to see. I mean, that only because, like, we had, like, predicted it. But, like, quite honestly, it's like, sir, like, what are you doing here? She was just fine. But anyway, he came. They had a dance. She felt like she had that, like, typical prom experience. Good for her. And I think that, like, they both know that, you know, it is soon to be gone, all of it.
This is the end of it, but they can have one more dance together.
One more dance. Okay, I don't remember what show it was, but I definitely cried recently at a TikTok, and it was it was this, like, this 19-year-old Shih Tzu, and he was just, like, bopping, like, down the street, like, so very cute. Energetic. And that song, like, slipping through my fingers every time I thought, you know that song?
No, I don't. Slipping
through my fingers. And basically, like, it just made me cry because it was, like, he was a 19-year-old Shih Tzu.
Yeah, he's getting older.
He's just living his life.
I follow a TikTok account of a woman who has a 17-and-a-half-year-old golden retriever, which is, if you have ever owned, that's an incredible age for a golden retriever to get to. And she'll like bring him to a farmer's market in a little wagon, and she'll like wheel him around. And like the captions are always like, I'm not like leaving him out because he's a senior. Like I want him to enjoy like mm-hmm. what he has left. And it's like so, so sweet.
I don't have the golden retrievers on my TikTok because I swipe fast, so it doesn't stay on my algorithm.
Oh, see, my entire TikTok algorithm. Well, currently it's all Pink Pony Club. My entire TikTok is Pink Pony Club currently.
Wait, okay, so what do you think about the Pink Pony Club?
I fucking love Pink Pony Club. Yeah, I love everything about it. I think it's the boppiest bop. I mm-hmm. love the message. Like, mm-hmm. truly, Chapel Rowan is an icon and a legend, and I love.
Do
her.
You? What other songs do you know about Chapel Rowan?
There's one other one, but oh wait, no, Had to Go.
Okay.
And then there's another one, but I don't remember the name of it. It's like champagne something or other, or wine something. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Red Wine Supernova.
Nailed it.
No, see? No,
you did. Not. I knew there was wine.
No other. You can only name 2.5 songs.
Oh yeah. That's all I know. I don't listen to music. Also, I will just say another little fun fact about the cruise. My husband's sister really wanted to do Pink Pony Club at karaoke, but of course the fucking songs were outdated and they didn't have any Chapel Roan. So after karaoke was over, we serenaded the whole family with some Pink Pony Club, and it was great.
Very nice. Very nice. Beautiful.
Anyway, that's the prom episode. Next episode, as we all know, is Graduation Day Parts 1 and 2. Don't forget, we're watching mm-hmm. both and covering both next podcast, people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did get some feedback, but first, Sarah, I also would like to read. We got a 5-star review. And I'm going to read it on the podcast.
Oh, really?
The title of it is Raw Milk, LOL.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that. Okay, I just started listening to and loving your Felicity episodes because I'm watching it for the first time. I was a Buffy gal back when it was airing, and I was definitely too young to be watching it. You had me cracking up with the mayor's weird fixation on a milk rant. I had to chime in and say the raw milk fad is because some people bizarrely and wrongly believe pasteurization is actually bad and takes all the nutrients from milk away. It's such a dangerous fad. Pasteurization doesn't... Where did it go?
Well, they undid their 5-star review.
It did like a dot, dot, dot. And then I had to like click things to read the rest of it. Pasteurization does not lessen or take nutrients out of milk. It's just slightly heating it to kill really harmful bacteria. The worst part of raw milk fad is some are having their small children drink it, leaving them vulnerable to some really deadly illnesses. I have no patience for the conspiratorial people who think big milk is tricking us with pasteurization. LOL. Yep. This is from I'm Feeling Sublime. So thank you so much. I'm Feeling Sublime for your review. We appreciate that.
Very, very in on knowing the going ons about the raw milk issue. So
yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much for your 5-star review and for leaving us a little note about milk. Love it. Are you ready to hear some feedback about this episode from the listeners?
Yes.
So we got an email from Julia. Hi, ladies. This is a bit boring for a prom episode, but Buffy receiving the Class Protector Award and her sacrifices finally being acknowledged makes up for it. I cried watching that scene. It also confirms everybody does notice Hellmouth, but pretend not to. Despite being heartbroken, she makes sure her classmates get their prom experience, even if it means missing her own. It's why she's my favorite character. I love that she did get to dance with Angel in the end. Their breakup never bothered me, TBH, cringe face. The relationship always seemed one-sided. There's been a few times when Buffy's been abandoned by the Scoobs, but Angel never stepped up. The Ted robot, 18th birthday trial, Xander had to convince Angel to help Buffy in the season one finale. Also, Anya is way too good for Xander. He should be thrilled she asked him to prom.
Yeah.
That is hysterical. I'm with Jess on the Wesley Cordelia relationship. Wesley's age is never confirmed. Most fans believe he's 25 to 30, given college plus watcher training. The ick factor doesn't translate properly on screen because charisma was 28 or 29 here, but adult men going for barely legal 18-year-olds is never a good thing in my book, and I don't like the show making light of it. I also don't think Cordelia is as mature as she thinks. She was in love with Xander a few episodes back. LOL. Which is fair. Yeah.
Facts.
I do agree with you and Julia that, like, it's hard because Charisma Carpenter doesn't look like an 18-year-old. Like, it doesn't look like as much of an age gap because the actors are the ages that the characters are. Talking about age gaps, I was fine suspending my disbelief with Angel until the reveal that 200 year plus Angel fell in love at first sight with a 14 or 15 year old Buffy while stalking outside her school and peering through her window watching her crying. Such an unnecessary detail and so creepy.
I think like that's what it is, right? Like, we are, and like, I think it let me finish a sentence. I think like that is what aids me being like whatever with Wesley and Cordelia. Not that two wrongs make a right, but it's like we're here trying to be fed that like a 200-year-old and an 18-year-old are okay to be together. And this is also something that like we grew up with as kids, like Bella and Edward. Like, we were totally okay with Edward being X amount years old and Bella. Like, it's just something that like I feel like
even when they weren't vampires,
those in media,
like the Pretty Little Liars, like Ezria, you know.
That's the other thing. Like, Ezria was like the ship back in the day. So like, I think that it's just something, and maybe it's just like a, you know, seeing that dynamic in media, especially the shows that we've covered. Like, how many times have we talked about like teacher student relationships on this podcast? The limit does not exist. Every single show that we've covered has this. I kind of feel like the Wesley Cordelia is like the least offensive of everything.
Oh, but we're making comparisons, like, right? Like Tammy and Pacey, like, way worse than Cordy
like
and Wesley.
All the stuff, like, you know, in Felicity, Elena and her professor, like, it's everything. And also, didn't, like, what was Joey and her professor? A billion. The limit does not exist.
So many. Yeah.
So I guess we're just like a little numb to it all. But I don't know. Like, sometimes love is love in very particular instances, not in every instance.
Julia finishes. I loved Sarah's insights on the Willow and Oz relationship a few episodes ago. It helped recontextualize future events for me. I hope you had the most amazing wedding day, Sarah, and are enjoying married life.
Yes, married life is very good. Adam and I are very happy. We just celebrated our 2-month anniversary not too long ago. Time really does fly by. And married life is pretty chill.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, we also got an email from Linda. Hey, ladies, it's prom time in Sunnydale, so grab your McPlasma's order to go. Finish paying for your prom dresses. Don't play cool in the gang too loudly and have a nice time. I don't know any of those references. Is that
well, McPlasma, it's like Mickey D's.
But what's a plasma,
blood. Like blood.
Oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
First off, my boy. Yes, sorry.
She's just She's just being too witty for you.
Too witty for me.
Do you have, like, how quick do you have access to your prom photo?
We've already had this conversation. I didn't go to prom.
You're a loser.
First off, my boy Jonathan giving Buffy the class protector award is so incredibly perfect that along with Giles smiling and proud papa mode has me tearing up every time. You have the emotional maturity of a blueberry scone is an insult I still use to this day.
All right, let's see some ugly shit.
Let me finish my email from Linda first.
Sorry, Linda.
Because this next thing is very funny. Xander clearly still loves Cordy. He keeps her secret and buys her dress without making a big deal about it, so she doesn't feel embarrassed. It hurts him to see her struggling. I feel like this act of kindness shows Cordy that Xander truly does care about her and helps bring some healing. I like seeing them on good terms with each other. I also agree with that. It was a nice reprieve from the constant bickering between them. Mm-hmm. Also, I apparently have a type when it comes to characters I love. Spoiled rich girls who appear to have everything, who are actually hiding secrets along with their pain and have huge hearts. Andy McPhee, anyone? Solid point. Also, it reminds me a little bit of like Blair Waldorf too, to an extent.
I love Blair.
I know. That's what I was saying. One final thing. Can we all please agree? Angel is a giant dick. He could have waited until after prom to break up with Buffy. I could have done with a little less boring Angel drama and a little more prom action. We didn't even get a prom king and queen. Totally agree with you, Linda. 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I can't believe our time at Sunnydale High is coming to an end. I'm excited for you guys to jump on the emotional roller coaster that is graduation day parts 1 and 2. Thank you so much for writing in, Linda. And thank you everyone for writing in throughout this season. We love getting your feedback.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay, Sarah, what am I going to be looking at that is truly
hideous? Well, it's my senior prom dress. It's pretty bad. I think like my junior prom dress was actually cute, but not this one.
Okay.
So very embarrassing.
I can't wait to see it.
How do I share my screen?
Is it better or worse than Buffy's?
Worse.
Ooh, that's exciting. Yeah,
pretty ugly.
Incredible.
Here we go.
Oh no. It's very of the times.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like black and white, like split in the middle. It had like some embroidery. It was.
What was with our obsession with spaghetti straps? Can I just ask?
I don't know. How do you stop this?
There you go.
Thank you.
Spaghetti straps were, as someone who is a broad shouldered girly, they're they look horrible on me.
I know.
And also, they just don't support the tatas at all.
No.
Just saying.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, my junior prom dress was much cuter, but I don't know if I have access to that photo as easily. Unfortunately, this one's on the Facebook, so.
Oh gosh.
Can't get rid of it. Next week, I can show you a picture of my graduation. So.
Ooh, exciting.
Stay tuned. That's also can be found on my Facebook.
One other thing I wanted us to touch on, Sarah, before we get on the heck out of here and go watch graduation day is, did you hear the news about a potential Buffy reboot? This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
For those who only joined us for like this Buffy journey and haven't necessarily listened to any of the other content we've done, this fucking happens to us every time we cover something, whether it's a podcast or a show. Like, first we start Boy Meets World. Oh, then it's
is very, very different. Pod Meets World. I think.
And then we start Felicity, and then the Felicity podcast starts.
Well, they're doing
a Buffy reboot.
I think like what you're saying is that once we cover stuff, it gets back. Well, I mean, Buffy's always in people's mouths.
I'm not saying that like Buffy needed us to be commenting on
it. This is the first time that we've covered a show that there has been like a reboot in the works.
Right. Yeah, Girl Meets World existed before we did anything with Boy Meets World.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessica, are you looking forward to watching the Buffy reboot?
It is hard for me to say because I feel like it will depend on how the show ends. The only information I know is that like Sarah Michelle Gellar is involved, which everyone is very excited about, and that they feel like this. Everyone I've heard is excited about it because they feel like Sarah Michelle Gellar would not sign on to do something that wasn't worthy of her time. And I also I've come to understand that problematic Joss Whedon, is that his name, is mm-hmm. not involved. So we do like that. Double thumbs up to that.
I think like the director that is it that is rumored is somebody that people are happy about.
I think so.
I mean, like, honestly, I do not know like where we are in the stage of creating this reboot, but is there a world where the reboot comes back and we're not even done covering the show, therefore we are unable to watch the reboot in real time? Because I think that realization is probably factual.
I would say it could be close. It could be, because just a little peek behind the curtain for the listeners. Currently, at our current pace of one episode a week and doing season wrap-ups and all that stuff, we are slated to finish covering the show in December of 2026. Now, I believe
going to be dead by then.
I believe they're just in talks with the Buffy reboot. Like, there's no script written. There's nothing shot. If those were the cases, I would say that, like, yikes, like, we're probably going to not be able to, like, watch it. But, like, I think it'll probably either be tight or it will be fine and we'll be able to watch it by the time that it actually comes out.
Are we going to be covering Buffy the Vampire Slayer until we are grandmothers?
I'm not making that promise. I'm not making any promises to anything, because guess what, folks? 2025 ain't in the 90s. So we don't necessarily have to do anything. We'll just see where we land. I'll probably end up watching it, especially if I'm enjoying Buffy the entire way through. But do we have to cover it? No. We're under no obligation to do anything. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's our episode of Buffy. That was the prom. I had a great time talking about it. I really liked the episode. I thought it was a really solid one. A little less time spent on Demon Dog and the Bangel drama, and I would have been a little happier. But the Bangel drama was inevitable, right? Like,
yeah.
But next week, graduation day, parts 1 and 2. Make sure to send in your feedback. We want to hear from you. I feel like people really like the season finale, so I want to hear everyone's thoughts. shit90spod@gmail.com, shit90spod.com, if you want to send us in a little voicemail. Or you could find us on all the social medias at shit90spod. And Sarah, anything else? Did you remember what you wanted to say earlier? I doubt it.
No.
Okay. Well, you know where you can find us, everyone. So we'll be back next week for the finale of season 3. Until then, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.